This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
So we've got reviews coming up. It's an interesting week. As usual, Kermode has done his usual trick of bowing out for a week because a lot of this stuff hasn't been shown to reviewers. For example, like Saw 4, which has already been mentioned, but don't forget Saw 4 from the digital compositor who brought you A History of Violence. Thank you, Tim Phillips, for that.
And the digital composition of The History of Violence was amazing. I can't tell you whether the digital composition of Saw 4 was amazing because it wasn't shown to the press. Now, you're probably thinking, who cares, really? I don't care about the film press, whether they get shown films or not. But all that means is I can't tell you what it's like. Although I can tell you from experience of previous films
more
that don't get shown to the press, is that, well, it's probably more of the same, but if it was something that the film company were really proud about, of course they would show it to the press. The fact that they haven't means they've got something to hide. In other words, it must be rubbish. That, you know, it's frustrating for me, and sometimes you can get to see a film, because we do this on a Friday afternoon, there are lunchtime screenings, sometimes you can get to see them. I couldn't do it today, so I'm going to go and see it next week, because I actually didn't mind the first three, particularly the first one. I don't think this is as bad as franchises perhaps the film company seem to think it is. I don't understand why they didn't show it to us, because a lot of the rubbish that we do get shown, you think, well, how bad can Saw 4 be that they're deciding not to show it to us?
Wasn't it one of the earlier Saw movies where there was problems at a cinema because St John's ambulance were called because so many people were fainting?
Very possibly. The first one is an absolute, I think it's a great film, and was a real, a real sort of injection of power and excitement back into the horror film, the American horror film. So I really enjoyed it. And even the third one, which, like this, wasn't shown to the press, I thought was okay.
But clearly, if you're of a sensitive nature,
you're not going to see it.
Just don't.
And the film company's excuse is always this: it's a film for the fans. They're like, it's, you know, the fans will go and see it in the first week. It's Halloween. They'll go and see it, and then it'll disappear. But basically saying, look, it doesn't matter what the film reviews are like. It doesn't matter what the film press say. But then if it doesn't matter, show it to us, because whatever we say won't make any difference. So just show it to us, because I'd like to be able to talk about it, but I haven't seen it.
Gordon in Airdrie, words on a movie poster to lure me in are free admission.
Yes, very good.
Susan, stuck on the M1, a Ron Howard film starring Tom Hanks is my idea of hell. And Apollo 13.
That was the Ron Howard
film. It's a Ron Howard
movie
with Tom Hanks. It's a fantastic film.
I think probably the memory of the Da Vinci Code is probably still strong in her head. And of course, there's going to be another one because they're doing Angels and Demons next. So I'm afraid there's going to be another Ron Howard movie starring Tom Hanks.
Words to stop me going to a film: Lee Evans, Mr. Bean, and anything says Malk with a 3 in it.
Wow, Malk is my kind of guy. I agree on all those counts.
Hugh Grant guarantees no hard-earned cash leaves my purse. Ella in London. And Justin in Surrey: if Cannes is haughty and film is culture, does that make it horticultural?
Very good.
Very high class, isn't it? Yes. We haven't done a review yet, so we'll put that right in just a moment. Box office top 10 this week: Nancy Drew at 10.
Starring Emma Roberts, daughter of Eric Roberts, niece of Julia Roberts. It's not a very good film, but I actually think she's probably one to watch out for, so remember the name.
Atonement at 9.
Which I'm a big fan of.
The Kingdom is at 8.
Which I'm not a big fan of. It's Hollywood trying to be very serious, very political, but forgetting that actually it's just being really dumb and really gung-ho.
The Dark is Rising at number 7.
Was meant to be the new Harry Potter, but has flopped horrendously. I think there's all, these are based on books, and there's all sorts of opportunities for a franchise and spin-offs. Looking at the box office figures, both in here in the UK and in the States, I don't think it's going to happen.
Hanging on at number 6, Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Has been an absolutely huge hit, and I don't think any critic, I don't think actually anybody involved in the film would have expected it to be quite as big as it was. But, you know, it's a pleasant, beautifully timed in terms of its release film, and I think that has played a massive part in why it's been so successful.
Number 5, Resident Evil Extinction.
You say that with such contempt in your voice.
No, I haven't seen it. My son went to see it. He thought it was quite good.
Did he? Yeah. Does he like the Resident Evil movies, or was it just a random visit?
It was just what was on.
Right, okay. Yeah, I hated it.
Okay. Heartbreak Kid at 4.
Well, I'm so disappointed. You know, Ben Stiller, I would imagine, if we're talking about names that will put people off, he also is somebody who provokes either a love it or hate it reaction from people, and I'm sure some people would definitely not go and see a film because he's in it. I like him, so I was disappointed when this was his reunion with the Farrelly brothers, who did this Something About Mary, because this now just seems really lame and dated, and it should have been so much better.
Number three is Rendition,
which is again Hollywood trying to be serious and political. Actually, it achieves it this time round. It's not as gung-ho as The Kingdom, although it has a fairly similar plot. But the problem is, and this is reflected both in the box office figures in the UK and in the States as well, no one's really going to see them. There are a lot of films around at the moment. A Mighty Heart, the Angelina Jolie movie, that are very serious films, deal with Middle Eastern issues, Middle Eastern politics, America's relationship to the Middle East. And they're, on the whole, well-made films, very worthy films. People just aren't going to see them. So I don't think we'll be seeing many more because, of course, films only get made in Hollywood if they're guaranteed to make money.
Although it's number three.
Yeah, it's number three, but it made like £500,000, which isn't great.
And in one word, Stardust, the word on the poster is...
spectacular.
And number one is Ratatouille.
Which I love.
See, Mark was telling us how disappointing it was.
Well, have you seen... You haven't...
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. No, I really liked it. It's definitely not a sort of a wackier Disney Pixar movie. It's not quite so silly. I think what Brad Bird does, who I think was on the show last time, yep, I was on, wasn't he? You know, he does. He makes films that aren't particularly kids' movies. He just makes great films. So it's not the all the sort of the silly, wacky, funny, frothy Disney Pixar movie. It is actually just a bit more serious, a bit more grown up. But that's why I liked it.
And proving that you're right, Ian and Luton, the words Ben and Stiller are often a bad sign
there
if they
go
appear together on a poster. So that's the stuff that's in the top 10. Here's some new stuff coming.
Eastern Promises is directed by David Cronenberg, who's an amazing director, had a real resurgence in terms of his box office a couple of years ago with A History of Violence. What he does is unsettle you in his films. He can do that by being out and out gross like he did in his early movies, or they can just be eerie and moody and weird, which he's doing more of now. Crash is a perfect example of that, but they're always unsettling films. This is especially true of Eastern Promises. It is scripted by Stephen Knight, who's the man who did a big British hit called Dirty Pretty Things a few years ago, and it's a look at the Russian mafia in London. So you've got Naomi Watts in it. She's playing an English nurse called Anna. Young girl dies in her shift when she's doing the night shift at hospital, and she's clutching a diary. And now Anna takes the diary and tries to work out who this girl is. Now, the diary's in Russian, and there's a business card in there for a Russian restaurant in London. So she goes to this restaurant, hands over the diary, says, "Look, do you know who this person is? Do you know anything about her?" They go, "We don't, but we can actually translate the diary for you and try and find out a little bit more." What she doesn't realise is that actually this isn't a Russian restaurant at all. This is the headquarters of the Russian mafia's London operations, and the owner, this guy called Semyon, is the kingpin. He may be a restaurant owner, but he's also the Russian mafia kingpin. He's got an unstable son called Kirill, played by Vincent Cassel. He's got a driver who does a lot of his dirty work, very mean and moody driver called Nikolai, who's played by Viggo Mortensen. And really, they're the Nikolai and Anna are the two main characters. They strike up this friendship. The more she finds out about him, the more he starts to feel guilty about what he's going to do. So here's a clip. This is the, let me get this right. This is the half Danish, half American actor Viggo Mortensen playing a Russian, along with the Kent-born, Australian-raised Naomi Watts playing a Londoner in Eastern Promises. Check it out.
Have you ever met a girl called Tatiana?
I meet a lot of girls called Tatiana.
She was pregnant.
Ah, in that case, no, I never heard of her.
She died on my shift.
I thought you did birth.
Sometimes birth and death go together. She came in with needle punches all over both arms. Probably a prostitute, the age of 14. Do you think Semyon's son knew her?
I'm driver. I go left, I go right, I go straight ahead, that's it.
I'll take the next right.
The film is Eastern Promises. It is very strongly made. There's some really deep stuff in there, some deep stuff about family loyalties, about the ties that bind, about life and death, the fragility of life and death. The messages are all very clear in this. And it is an exquisitely made film because that's how David Cronenberg makes his movies. But there are several problems, which ultimately leads me to describe it as not brilliant, but intriguing. Whether intriguing is enough for you to go and shell out your money to go pay for it at the cinema, I don't know. But that's how I felt about it, because you want to see it again to try and work out exactly exactly what the hell's going on, because there's some weird stuff in this. First of all, the acting. Individually, the people are quite good, but together as an ensemble, they don't really work. They don't really gel. So you've got, I mean, Vincent Cassell, for example, who is the son of the mafia boss. We didn't hear him in that clip, but he is massively OTT, just really running away with it, doing kind of pantomime act. Then you've got Viggo Mortensen, who's mumbling and being very, very moody. You've got Naomi Watts really doing what she does a lot in films like The Ring, which is the sweet, innocent, naive, trying to investigate, trying to find out what's going on. And they don't really work together. You never buy that there's this actual friendship, this actual bond that's struck up between sweet, innocent, smiley nurse Anna and mean, moody murderer Nikolai. You just think, well, they just wouldn't go together. I don't believe that they would actually hang out together. He looks like he'd murder his gran, you know, why would she want to hang out with him? And part of the film is about a fish out of water. It's about a girl who's out of her depth, but you still have to buy into it, you still have to believe it, and I don't think you ever actually do with the characters, which is part of the problem.
It's an 18 certificate, isn't it?
Yes, it's an 18 certificate. The violence, you know, as I said, the fragility of life and death, a lot of it. And so the violence has to be there, and the violence has to be punchy. Like in his previous film, A History of Violence, there has to be moments where you don't just sit and go, yeah, whatever, it's another violent moment. I've seen hundreds of those in films. It has to have an impact. And there's one particular scene, which is Viggo Mortensen naked in a sauna, fighting another naked man in a sauna, that is not only incredibly violent, it's just incredibly bizarre. It goes on for absolutely ages, and it's really out of the blue, and it's a very odd watch. All of this is why I came out of it thinking this is an intriguing, bizarre film. I'd quite like to see it again to try and get a handle on it, rather than it's an instant, I love it, it's a classic. As I said, I don't know whether that's enough for people to go, right, Saturday night, here's a tenner, I'm going to go and see it. I actually think it's something that you need to see many times to kind of get into it. And probably that's why it's not going to do as well as A History of Violence, which was his most mainstream film he'd done for ages.
You could watch our interview with David Cronenberg on the website. He was on the programme a few days ago. If you want to hear that or watch it, go to the 5 Live website, bbc.co.uk/5live. Go to the programme page and follow instructions from there. What else, James?
There's a couple of documentaries out. Lagerfeld Confidential is about Karl Lagerfeld, the fashion designer. It's fine, really. If you're not into fashion, you're never going to go and see it. If you're a fashionista, if you're a fashion student, you want to go and see him. It delivers exactly what you expect it to deliver. So it's interesting.
How many people would go to the cinema to watch that, do you think?
Exactly. Very, very few. So I'm going to concentrate on a much bigger documentary, which is Sicko, which is the return of Michael Moore. I know Mark's a huge fan of. And this is Michael Moore's investigation into the American healthcare system, which is basically mostly to do with private healthcare, as opposed to here, which is obviously NHS and government funded. And he's saying, he's not just saying, actually, poor people can't afford private healthcare in America. He's saying people pay out for their private healthcare in America, but they don't always get healthcare back. And there's a guy, for example, who in an accident lost two of his fingers and he's got private healthcare, but it was going to cost so much to sew these two fingers back on. He has to choose which one finger he wants sewn back on, because that's all he can afford. So it's a real go at the big businessmen making loads of money out of private healthcare in America. The most interesting bit for us is when he comes to the UK, and this shows up Michael Moore, because a lot of people, including Kermode, have criticised him for a long time, but this particular movie, I think, because there's a lot of it in the UK, we can actually see it really clearly, because he comes to the UK and he goes to a hospital in London and he says, look at this, it's perfect, this is how it's done in the UK, everything's amazing, this is how it should be done in America.
Right. Now, do they mention MRSA and C.
Exactly.
And
now, of course, you know, I personally would much prefer to have a National Health Service than have to be in America and shell out for it, but we know that it's not perfect. And we know that there are serious issues, there are serious debates going on about the NHS, none of which are ever even confronted by Michael Moore. He just says, it's amazing. He goes to France, he says, that's amazing. He goes to Cuba, he says, that's amazing, without any sort of criticism of it. And although he is an appealing character, I think, and he's a showman, and I think is someone who I'm happy to watch in a film, I think he's done a lot for documentaries in terms of getting people to see them, this really shows him up for someone who doesn't actually delve into the real facts and who doesn't present a balanced argument and does mould things for his own ends, which really doesn't make him any better than a lot of the politicians that he likes to criticise. Maybe he's on the other side, he's on the left wing as opposed to the right wing, but, you know, if he's moulding facts for his own ends and they're doing the same thing, well, they're both exactly the same.
Really. Is it funny?
It is funny in parts. There's some great archive stuff. There's the archive record they find from the 50s, which was narrated by Ronald Reagan, which was sent around to, I think, schools or something, about the evils of a national healthcare service, and saying that if America ever had a national healthcare service, everyone would turn into communists. And it's that kind of stuff.
Well, that's true.
That really works. But you see, he's got a problem now, Michael Moore, because everyone knows who he is. So the big business people don't want to be interviewed by him. He can't do the doorstepping stuff that he used to do. I think it's an interesting movie, but he's really shown himself up in this one to really be not an in-depth journalist, not the character that he claims to be.
Movie of the week?
Movie of the week is Eastern Promises, even though it will do your head in.
And finally, Paul in Welshpool, any film that's described on the poster as a gritty British gangster movie will make me go to the pub instead. Amen to that. James, thank you. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.